Since the 1970s, harsh drug laws with long prison sentences have made American prisons big business. But marijuana has a long history of being used as a racialized tool to target people of color. And it starts well before Ronald Reagan's crusade against crack in the 1980s, or even Richard Nixon's early 1970s war on drugs. In the 1930s, one man.
This is Harry J. Anslinger, Commissioner of the Federal Bureau of Narcotics.
Launched the Reefer Madness campaign.
The Treasury Department intends to pursue a relentless warfare against the despicable dope-peddling vulture who preys on the weakness of his fellow man.
In 1930, Harry J. Anslinger became the country's first drug czar. He headed up the newly formed Federal Bureau of Narcotics. Suddenly, cannabis, a traditional Mexican curandero remedy that was used a lot also in prescription drugs, became known as devil weed. And Anslinger made a conscious decision to refer to it by its Mexican nickname, marijuana.
Harry Anslinger was a master manipulator of the press. He was a Machiavellian character, and he realized he can play the press like piano keys.
That's Martin Lee, author of the book Smoke Signals, A Social History of Marijuana.
And he would leak false information about the harms of marijuana, how it makes someone violent if they smoked a few puffs of a joint, to a favorite journalist who would print that story. And then Anslinger would cite that newspaper article as proof of how dangerous marijuana was.
So what was really behind the Reefer Madness campaign?
It was really about who was using it, not the drug itself.
In the early 1900s, white Americans were worried about the growing number of Mexicans driven north by the violence of the Mexican Revolution. And then, as the Great Depression dragged on, the fear of Mexican immigrants grew more. Americans blamed Mexicans for stealing U.S. jobs. Anslinger grabbed onto that fear. Politicians and newspapers painted Mexicans as murderous, weed-smoking criminals.
Oh, Chuyas.
Where's Notius, Jose?
You have the marijuana for me?
You have the money?
Si.
In 1937, Harry Anslinger proposed the Marijuana Tax Act to outlaw marijuana throughout the United States. At the time, the American Medical Association strongly objected to the act, pointing to a lack of scientific evidence about marijuana's danger. But Martin Lee says Anslinger was a master propaganda artist.
And he would drum up all kinds of scare stories about how smoking marijuana made white women lust for black men or dark-skinned men. And the laws that were passed with respect to marijuana were really used to target ethnic minorities.
Anslinger didn't just have it out for Mexicans. He also kept a Federal Bureau of Narcotics file on musicians like Duke Ellington, Billie Holiday, and Dizzy Gillespie, because he thought that, quote, satanic music and jazz and swing resulted from marijuana use.
And he had a plan, actually, at one point, to round up as many jazz musicians as possible in a single day to make a big swoop and arrest dozens of famous jazz musicians at a time. That was his plan.
Then in the 1950s, marijuana was associated with communists. The line was that it would make you so passive that you'd be brainwashed and you wouldn't be able to resist the Red Menace.
Some say the Reds are promoting dope traffic in the United States to undermine national morale.
Every decade, cannabis has gotten a different bad rap. But what's worse, says Martin Lee, is what's happened to the people using it.
We see this reflected in the disproportionate numbers of young black and brown people who are arrested for marijuana violations, even though the use of marijuana on the part of black and brown youth is pretty much similar as compared to white youth, and yet the arrest numbers are quite different. So this legacy of racism has continued up to the present time.
Boy, she's really friendly. The wildest chick in town.